We want to speak to you this morning on the subject, Resurrection Sunday. Would you say that for me? Resurrection Sunday. This is Resurrection Sunday. The greatest bombshell that has ever exploded on the face of this earth was the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You didn't hear what I just said. Let me repeat it. The greatest bombshell that has ever exploded on the face of the earth was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Today is Resurrection Sunday. Now some of you will call it Easter Sunday. All across this world, people are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the most important events in all the world. Now, the virgin birth of Jesus is very important, yes. It's very important. His virgin birth provides the means of salvation. Jesus' birth was supernatural. It was a supernatural miracle when a virgin woman named Mary gave birth to a baby when she never knew a man. That was a miracle. But if there had been no resurrection, the birth of Jesus would have been pointless. Amen. The whole Christian faith hangs on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Take the resurrection away and you don't have any victory. Amen. You don't have any salvation. But thanks be to God, He was born. Yeah. Amen. Amen. He died. And that was the end. No, he rose again. Amen. But thanks be to God, his death was not the end. It was just the beginning. Because he rose from the dead. We sing the song, he rose, he rose, by my soul. He rose from the dead. The Apostle Paul, that great apostle, said in 1 Corinthians 15, you just heard in your reading. Listen to him. He said, if Christ be not risen, your faith is in vain, and we all are still in our sins. But Christ is risen from the dead. That's what the great apostle said. It is fitting that we should set aside one Sunday out of a year called Easter Sunday to commemorate and celebrate his resurrection from the grave. We're here this morning to commemorate and to celebrate his resurrection from the grave. We join hundreds of millions of people all across the world, even the Pope this morning, all across this world, to remember his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Amen. His death and his burial and his resurrection, that's the centrality of the gospel. Amen. Christianity is the only religion that can boast about a risen, resurrected Savior. You didn't hear what I just said. Christianity, the Christian faith, is the only religion that can boast about a resurrected Savior. The Mormons can't. The Jehovah Witness can't. No other religious faith in the world can truthfully say their founder rose from from the dead. Our history books record the names of many great people. Some of them even founded religions. The Church of the Latter-day Saints, the Watchtower Witness Religion, the Christian Scientists, the New Age Movement, Taoism, the Islamic religion, the Buddhist religion, the Hindu religion, and many other religions and cults. All of these leaders of these various religions I just named, and many more religious faiths, they have all lived, these founders have lived and died, and they are still dead. Not one of them of all these religions, except one, can boast about a resurrected Savior. Only one can truthfully make the claim, and that's the Christian faith, because that founder not only came to this earth, walked this earth, died on the cross, rose again from the grave, and that's what we can say today. I serve a living Savior. He's all the world to me. We can sing it because He lives. I serve a risen Savior on this Resurrection Sunday. Now, there are four things that you need to know, then I'm going to sit down and we're going to move into communion. There are four things that involves the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the text, that we need to hang our hats on this morning. You say, well, Pastor Addison, what are those four things? Well, hang on, I'm going to tell you those four things. You say, well, why four? I said, well, five is too many, and three is not enough. So I got four words that you need to jot down in your notes that will talk about and explain and delineate for you Resurrection Sunday. Would you say Resurrection Sunday?
Resurrection Sunday.
Good. First thing, as we look at this text that the great apostle wrote, the first thing that jumps out at us is that he tells us about a transformation. Now you get it. Now they all begin with a T. I like alliterations because I was a school teacher. I like alliterations because it keeps things neat and tidy. Number two, we're going to find this morning that this great apostle, second T he talks about, is triumph. That's what he's talking about, and he wants me to tell, God wants me to tell you about it this morning. Triumph. As we look at this great epistle of 1 Corinthians, this great apostle tells us about thanksgiving. He tells us about thanksgiving. And finally, this great apostle tells us about the fourth and last T, therefore. Therefore, we're going to find out what the therefore is there for. Let's talk about the transformation this morning. Look at verse 50 through 53. Transformation. On this Resurrection Sunday, the message this morning is to the saints, and Paul was writing to Corinthians, Christian believers. And I hope that I'm preaching to Christian believers this morning. Amen. And if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, when I'm finished, we open the doors of the church, you can settle that matter this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Transformation. Listen to him in verse 50 through 53. He says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. In your present state, you can't go to heaven in your present state. Paul tells us that our current bodies cannot enter heaven in our present form. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Paul is telling us that the body needs to be changed. That's why the Bible tells us in John 3 that we must be born again. Your present body is sinful, and it's got to be a change. There must be a change. In other words, there must be a transformation. You didn't hear what I just said. What do you think happens to a caterpillar? He goes through, Sister Jackson, he goes through a metamorphosis. And then eventually he changes into a what? Talk to me. A change takes place. You and I must have a change. You're not going to go to heaven in these present bodies, because these bodies died. They got sinned. And they got to be born again, amen, by the Spirit of God. The word transformation, by the way, means change. Paul is talking about change. Change, change, change. And I'm not talking about change of food. A change to our bodies must happen on earth while you're living on this earth to prepare you for heaven. Jesus said, ye must be born again. That's what he told Nikki, didn't he?
Yes.
He told Nikki said, but I've been born. He said, but you must be born again. You mean I got to get back into my mother's womb? Come on, you've got to be born from above. The Greek word anathen means to be born from above. Look what Paul, the great apostle, says in verse 52 about change. He says, in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump or the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall all be what?
Change.
You want to underline that word, change. There it is. We shall all be transformed. One day we're going to be transformed. One day. I weigh 200 and too much. Don't you laugh at me. You all are not fit that thing either. One day I'm going to get a body. I'm going to have me a nice, tall, slim body. A good looking body like Brother Leroy Richardson. I've always wanted to look slim and be able to sing like you, son. And to be tall and dance and slim. But one day I'm going to look like that, because I'm going to get a new body. A new body. Amen. One day you're not going to worry about a size 16 dress. You're going to be able to get in a size 8 or a size 6. Amen. Change, change, change. There's going to be a change coming. We're going to get a new body, an incorruptible body. And I'm looking for that day to come. Amen. There must be a transformation. Our present current bodies cannot enter heaven in their present form. You see, our current bodies, beloved, our current bodies are flesh. Didn't he say flesh and blood cannot? Our bodies got flesh in them and blood. Our bodies are made up of flesh and blood and bones and muscle and nerves and organs and veins and arteries. And I could go on and on, but you get the point. But you know what our bodies have in them? S-I-N. Sin. Sin brought God's Son to this earth, and he died to pay the penalty. Sin demands a penalty, and we couldn't pay it, beloved. Jesus Christ paid the penalty. It had to be someone who was sinless. He was sinless. Sin demanded it. That's why God hates sin. He loves us. God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. That's why we can celebrate a risen Savior on Resurrection Sunday. Sin. What is sin? Sin is a transgression against God's law. Sin corrupts. Sin stains. And we cannot enter God's holy heaven in these corrupt bodies. There must be a change. There must be a transformation. We must get new bodies, sinless bodies, born again bodies. And praise God, if you trusted Jesus as your Savior, you've been saved, and now we're waiting for that transformation. In the moment, in the twinkle of an eye, you know how quick a twinkle is? Just as quick as you can blink. We're going to be changed. We're going to be transformed. And I can't wait to get my new body. New body. I can't wait to get it. But not only that, a change must take place, a transformation. Listen to the great Job. You know Job in the Bible. You know about Job. Remember Job? And hey, listen to Job. Job says, if a man die, shall he live again? Job says, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my what?
Change
is going to come. Job said there's got to be a change. Job said that in Job 14. One day our bodies will be raised incorruptible. All of us who are saved this morning by the Spirit of God, we all of us are going to get a new body.
Yeah.
New body. Yeah. Talking about a new suit for Easter, we're going to get a new body for the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. One day our bodies will be raised incorruptible.
Yeah.
All 202 much of me is going to rise up in the air. And I'm going to wave bye-bye, sweet hours of prayer. I can say a lot there, but I know I got to move on. I can stay there and preach for the next 4 hours. But anyway, one day our bodies will be raised incorruptible. We're going to get a new body. We need a new body, beloved. We need a new body. You see, the body that you and I in, I had to get up on that chair. I've been drinking that water there because they say water helps arthritis. It doesn't do me any good. I'm still stiff. Amen. I'm all right once I get going. Once I get going, when I get up, you know what I'm talking about. But then after I'm up, I'm moving. I can move. Amen. You don't know what I'm talking about yet, but you keep living. Keep going to bed and getting up in the morning. I was 20 once. I was 20 once. But we got to get new bodies. See, these bodies of ours, beloved, they are sick.
Yeah.
These bodies of ours have P-A-I-N. They have pain. These bodies of ours will decay. I've buried a many as a pastor. And many bodies go to the grave and their bodies, they decay because we are dust. We are dust. I've said too often in the cemetery, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. These bodies, they die because they are corrupt. These bodies need food. One day we're going to go next to eat them with food. These bodies need water. These bodies get tired. Get tired. On Resurrection Day, known as the rapture of the church, God has prepared two things. You say, what? On that day when we get our new bodies, at the rapture, we're going to get a new body. God says two things will happen. What are the two things? Well, the first is T-I-M-E, time. And the second thing is P-L-A-C-E, place. What do you mean by time? Paul never knew the exact time of Jesus' return. He didn't know the exact time. But the great apostle had no doubt that Jesus would return in time to transform us and give us new bodies, because he said this one thing. He said it will be in a moment. A moment, as quick as a moment is, we're going to get our new bodies. Now, some of you might be living when he comes back. Can you imagine what would happen if Jesus came back right now? Some of us would be gone. Some of us would be left behind. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be transformed. I can't wait. Second thing, time. Not only did he talk about time, but he talked about a PLACE. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor Addison? Paul said God would change us. And then John turns around, the Apostle John turns around and said, God has prepared a place for us. So we know we're going to be changed in a moment. And then we know that we've got a place to go. I know that when I leave here, I got a place at 17 Charlton Drive in Hampton where I can go. That's mine. That's my place. But I also know that I got a place in heaven. Not because I'm perfect, but because I'm God's child.
Yes, sir.
And I trusted him as my Savior. Have you?
Yes, sir.
Have you?
Yes,
sir. If you trusted him as your Savior, you got a place. What do you mean a place? John 14 says, I go. Jesus said, I go to prepare a what? Talk to me. I go to prepare a PLAC for you. He said, and if I go, that word if means that since I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. That's you and me, brother and sister. So not only is it going to be another time, but we got a place to go.
Amen.
It's good to know that you got a place to lay your weary head one day.
Amen.
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 All of us have a place. We have a place. You know, when you leave here, you're going to go home and you've got a place to sleep at night. Talk to me.
Amen.
You've got a place to sleep.
Amen.
You go in Monday morning, you've got a place to go to work. You got a place where you're going to go in the evening after this worship service is over. And the community, you're going to go home and you're trying to tell me to hurry up, preacher, so we can go home and eat yard dirt. So you've got a place to eat. We've got a place in this beautiful sanctuary, a place where we can worship.
Yeah.
One day, we're going to have a place in heaven.
Yeah.
That's good news. God has prepared a place for us, for all who believe and are saved. God even has a place not only for believers, but God's got a place for unbelievers. Hello.
Hello.
A place called heaven for believers and a place called hell for unbelievers. You're going to one of the ages, brother. But you don't have to go to the H-E-L-L, brother, if you just come to Christ. And Lord, I'm a sinner. I recognize that I'm a sinner. And to ask God to save you. And God loves all of us. And he'll save you right where you are. Talk to me! A place. But let me get on my other team, because I'm long-winded. And you know, I'll be here. What's my next team? Trying? Yes, right. Paul talks not only about transformation, but here Paul talks about trying. You say, well, Pastor, that's where is that? Verse 54 through 56. Listen to it. He talks about trying. He says in verse 54, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? In other words, the word triumph, beloved, is defined as means to be victorious or to overcome. Paul says that if you are in Christ, notice the preposition in Christ. He didn't say in the church, in Christ. You can be in church and go to hell. You got to be in Christ. There is the principle of triumph written all over verses 54 through 56. The word triumph is another word for victory. Say victory.
Victory.
Look what he says in verse 54. He says we've got victory over death. Talk to me. Victory. Triumph over death. Look in verse 55. We got victory over the grave. Don't you see it? Then he said we got victory. And then he used the preposition. Not in, but through. We got victory through who? Jesus Christ. That's in verse 57. Talk to me.
Yes,
do you see it said yes?
Yes.
Sunday this morning, we can rejoice that we have triumph or victory over death in this world and in the next world. Because we're in Christ, we are triumphant. We are triumphant. Faith in Jesus Christ pays off. Years ago, when I was a boy, we used to sing a hymn, "It Pays to Serve Jesus." You might know, it pays every day. It pays to serve Jesus. Look what he says. Paul says, there are two victories here for Christians. Two victories, two triumphs, two things that we overcome. Look what he said. He said, first, the sting of death. We got victory over the sting of death. Don't you know that our bodies have the stinger in them? I was in the yard some years ago, and I would put my hand in a glove, and that glove had a yellow jacket, and my father, that thing got on my finger, and that stinger got in my finger, and it hurt me so bad. And I ran in the house, sister, and said, she didn't give me no mercy. And I called the hospital for that sting, and they told me to put a little baking soda on it and pull the sting out. When I pulled the sting out, I was feeling much better. When you come to Christ and you're saved, he pulls the stinger out of death, and you'll feel much better. You didn't get what I just told you. The sting of death is gone for the believer. Amen. He said it's been swallowed up. Death has been swallowed up. And then he looks and he tells us, not only has the sting of death been swallowed up, but he says the strength of sin is defeated. Verse 56. Not only is the sting of death swallowed up, but the strength of sin, the sting and the strength, is defeated. Verse 56. Death is swallowed up in the victory. And then he says in 56, and the strength of sin is the law, and we couldn't keep the law. We couldn't keep the Greek word is nomos. We couldn't keep it. And Christ came and satisfied the penalty required for the law. And now we've got grace. And grace is God's unmerited favor. And all you got to do is reach out and he'll give it to your boy. He'll give it to your girl. He'll give it to you. When you swallow something, death swallowed up. When you swallow something, it means that you have absorbed the whole thing. When Christ died on the cross, he swallowed up death and gave us the victory. That's right. He swallowed the whole thing. That's why we can stand here today and sing. He's up from the grave. Lowered the grave, he rose from the grave. 2,000 years ago, Jesus swallowed death for us. Because he swallowed our sins in his body, we now have victory, triumph over the grave. One day you heard it, Addison is gone. I'll be more alive then than I ever been. You don't get it? I'll be more alive than I ever been. Thank God that he swallowed the whole thing. Death is swallowed up in victory. And how did he do it? Look at that verse. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He tells us the source of it. Well, what did he do? He died on the cross. Somebody had to pay the penalty. And he shed his precious blood. Blood! When we get to heaven, we won't have any blood. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the what? In the blood! Not in heaven. The life of the believer will be in Jesus Christ. There won't be any blood. There won't be any blood. And the strength of sin is the law. And the law he satisfied. Thank God we have victory now. Thank God we've got victory now. We couldn't satisfy the law, but Jesus did. We had no strength against sin, but Jesus had strength. Amen. So then, the greatest enemy to mankind today is sin. Sin. A little baby is born into it. He's born and as cute as a pumpkin, but they are just little sinners. They need a Savior. You are big sinners and we need a Savior. What am I this morning? The Bible tells me what I am. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You got to be in Christ, not in the church only. Sin. The greatest enemy of man is sin. Sin, the seed of sin, comes into us at birth. Death is a result of sin. Death, the seed of sin, is in us, and it brings about death. Sin, the end result of sin, is death. Conquer sin, and you'll achieve victory over death. And Jesus conquered sin 2,000 years ago over and won the victory over death. We this morning on Resurrection Sunday can conquer sin through Christ. Then we can sing, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is what?
Gone.
Why I feel gone? Because I got victory through Christ. Death has been swallowed up. Sin has been swallowed up. But let me get to my third, because I got to move on here now. My third T is what?
Thanksgiving.
You said, well, Reverend, where is that at? It's right there in front of you. You just don't see it. Well, where is it at? Just wait a minute. I'm going to tell you where it is. It's in verse 57. Don't you see it? Look what it says there. Paul, the great apostle, said, Thanksgiving on Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection Sunday. But thanks, there it is, underline. What did it say? But thanks be to God. I like that. Who gives us the what? The triumph. Through. That's a preposition there. Through who? That's a preposition phrase. When it says through the Lord Jesus Christ. I love it. On this Easter Sunday, on this Resurrection Sunday, I can stand here on this pulpit and say, like the great apostle said, thanks be to God for the victory I have, you have, and we got it through Jesus Christ. I didn't get it through Allah. I didn't get it through Taz Russell, Judge Rutherford of the Watchtower. I got it through Jesus Christ. I didn't get it through Joseph Smith of the Mormon faith. I didn't get it through Tiger Woods. I didn't get it through Donald Trump. But thanks be to God, I got it through the Lord Jesus Christ. So on this Resurrection Sunday, we ought to be thankful. You didn't hear what I just said. I said on this Resurrection Sunday, this morning, we ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful we're here. We ought to be thankful this morning. We've experienced transformation, which is taking place because we're saved. We've experienced triumph, realized through Jesus Christ, and we ought to be thankful in our hearts because we've been transformed and we've got triumph. The story is told about a man who was asked by his minister how many people it took to get him saved. The man looked at the minister and he said, preacher, it took two people to get me saved. The minister said, did God do it all, dear brother? Did Jesus pay it all? Jesus paid it all? The man said, no. He said, because I did everything I could to keep from getting saved, and God did everything he could to get me saved, and God done won the victory. Has God won the victory in your life this morning. You've been out there and you've done everything you can do. When you out there in the world, and then God that run you down, and now do you believe? Do you believe this morning?
Yes,
I can't hear you this morning.
Yes,
but if you believe that God that run you down, and now, praise God, you and I have the victory through our Lord and Savior, just Jesus Christ. So this great apostle was saying, thanks be to God who gives us the what? The victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is that what it says in verse 57?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So on this Resurrection Sunday, we ought to return thanks. We ought to return thanks.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing how many people I see get ready to eat food. And they eat food and just get right down and eat and never return thanks to God for it. I want to return thanks because I don't know who cooked it. And I want to get it clean, bless her when it go down. And it ain't right. Amen? You have to always return thanks to God. Talk about you forgot it. You really forgot to eat. You just forgot to get up this morning. You have to always thank God. I thank God this morning he got me here from my house to here on Bamboo Road or wherever. Banana Road or wherever. I'm here this morning. The grace of God brought me here. I could have been killed on the interstate getting here. Bridge could have collapsed. But the grace of God, that's why we're to thank God always. We ought to always be in a state of thanksgiving. Not only on Resurrection Sunday, but every day on the day. Every day on the day of thanksgiving. Every day on the day of thanksgiving. Every day. I'm just about done now, Brother Jason.
Take your time.
On this Resurrection Sunday, we should be thankful.
Yes.
But there's one more. There's one more T. What is that?
Therefore.
The therefore.
Yeah.
You say, well, where is that, Pastor? Some of you already know where it is. Some of you already see it. Do you see it?
Yes.
I see it. It's in verse what?
58.
Amen. There it is right there. Jump, that is. It's more powerful than a locomotive is able to leap. There it is right there. There it is. What's there? The therefore. He said in verse 50, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast.
Yes.
Then he said, and then what else? Unmovable. And what he said then? Always what? Always abounding. That word abounding means growing. Growing and moving, always abounding in what?
Work
of the Lord. Always be ready. Thank God for the therefore. That's the first word, the therefore in verse 15. You know what? Sometimes we need to know what the therefore is there for. We don't know what the therefore is there for. We ought to thank God for the therefore. The therefore is there. The core, the centrality of the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. That's the core of the gospel.
Amen.
I'm preaching the gospel this morning.
Amen.
The death is death, his burial, and his resurrection. And if you're in Christ, the same thing will happen to you